All right, Romans chapter 5. I don't normally do it this way. You know, I try to keep different things for different services, but I'm really kind of stuck on this, so we just pick up where we left off Sunday night. Romans chapter 5. But let's read the first five verses this time. We've been through verse 1 and then 2 and 3, I think, and then let's read down through here. Now, this is going to be not hard tonight. It's an encouraging part of it. You know, you're fixing to get into some stuff here in Romans 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 that's pretty, it's pretty cut and dried or whatever. I mean, it lays it out plain, and it's some things that really takes some thinking and studying. But this is just encouraging. This is Paul. Before he gets into that, he's going to tell us some things that will help us. And you need this. I mean, I wish everybody understood how much you're going to need this in the future. You know, I get tired of watching people just stumble around and fool around, and then they get in trouble and they don't know what to do and they don't know how to do anything. You know, you watch people in their physical life do that. They just do foolish things and make foolish decisions and keep jumping and making stupid mistakes. And then they end up in a terrible mess that they can't get out of. You better be careful with life, because you can do that. I know somebody, and you do too. They're in a place where there's no way they can do right. If they turn to the right, it's wrong. If they turn to the left, it's wrong. They cannot do what's right. And I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. They've dug such a hole that there's no way. No matter what they do, it's going to be wrong. Yeah, you can paint yourself in a corner just like that. You're supposed to walk in wisdom. You're supposed to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. A wicked man or a fool, no, it's not. He directs his own steps right out into the darkness and gets lost and in a mess. This here is about tribulation. Worketh patience from tribulation to hope. That's kind of interesting how he does here in these verses. I mean, he starts with tribulation and you end up with hope. That's the way it is for somebody that's got God in their life. Try to live without God, you go the other way. You understand that? You go backwards. You go from hope to nothing but tribulation. Chirp, chirp, chirp. I told him over there I was going to get the little cricket thing where it would make cricket noises whenever I stop talking and it's so quiet. Don't think anybody else is here. All right, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right, let's pray again and ask the Lord to help. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. I pray you'd help us in these few minutes. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. And help, Lord, your people to listen and to get help from the word of God. Spirit of God, I pray that you'd minister to each one here tonight. And whoever else might hear this somewhere else, I pray you'd help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tribulation. Here's what it is. It's pressure. You remember that old boy up in Piedmont that hung around? Doug Johnson. He always had that Doug Johnson under pressure, he said. Under pressure. He had a little speech impediment there, but You ever been under pressure? Are you under pressure? Welcome to life. Welcome to the world. Welcome to the real world. Now, when you're little and young, you don't have no pressure, do you? No. The only pressure you got's mom, dad, or somebody else trying to stop you from killing yourself. You know, it's about the only pressure you got. But life changes. When you grow up, the world's a pretty hard place. Tribulation is pressure. That's the first definition of the word. It also means afflicted. It means burdened. It means persecuted. Tribulation is a bad word. It's something that we don't want. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. John chapter 16, right down toward the end there. But he said, be of good cheer. You're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, even if you're saved. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. I mean, that's the whole thing here. We know this. I mean, I want you to understand this. Now, you can listen to Joel Osteen. He'll tell you it's not that way. You can listen to all these women preachers on the radio and TV, and they'll tell you it's not this way. But the Bible tells you, Jesus tells us, that that's the way it is. It's going to be tribulation. You enter the kingdom of heaven with what? Much tribulation. Much tribulation. That's the way in, and that's the way it is from then on. We have enemies. The devil is our enemy. The world is our enemy. The devil, all the people who do not submit to God are our enemies. They work against us. What do they do to us? They put pressure on us to yield to their way instead of God's way. They put pressure on us to back off, to give up, to shut up, don't they? You get that pressure. That's what tribulation is. It's pressure. Tribulation is pressure. It's like force applied. And this doesn't happen without something being moved or something being changed. If I'm going to move something, I've got to put some pressure on it. If I'm going to move this pulpit, I've got to push it. And that's what tribulation is. You're getting pushed. Pushed. It's resistance. It's not just resistance, it's trying to push you back. That's tribulation. You're going to have tribulation, Jesus said. It ain't going to be open doors and a freeway all the way. I mean, you're going to have to, it's an uphill climb. And it's a hard way to go. And it's not floating down the stream. It's going up the stream. And it's hard. It'll move you from where you are to somewhere else. That's what tribulation does. Would you please just listen to me for a few minutes? I'm going to try to hurry. But tribulation is like pressure. It's like being pushed. And it's going to move you. You push something, it's going to move. That's the whole design of it. That's why God allows it in our life. I want you to know tonight, you are not where God wants you to be yet. Where does God want us to be? With Him. And He's pushing us. He's allowing things to push against us to keep us in the right way and to prepare us and get us in the right position and in the right place and in the right condition to be with Him. I mean, that's what the tribulation for. Tribulation worketh patience. That's what the whole thing is, and that's where He's going here. Worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. You see, you're headed in the right direction. You're headed to a positive, a bright side. Tribulation seems bad at the beginning, but it's not in the end. It'll reshape you. It'll bend you or it'll break you. It's pressure applied. You pick up something and go to bending on it. You know, you take a pencil and just bend it. What's it going to do? It'll bend a little bit and it's going to break. Do you ever, you know, these games you play and different things like that? That's the whole deal. You try to bend it as far as you can without breaking it. We used to play with our measuring tapes, you know. You run that tape out there as far as you can run it until it kink, you know, and it breaks over and falls. The better tape it is, the farther out there you can reach. But, you know, just that's what it is. It also can transform you into something that you were not before the tribulation. How is it they say diamonds are made? Now, this is what they've said all through the years. I've learned it in school. They still say it. How do you make a diamond? Where does it come from? Pressure. Lots of pressure for a long time. Turns coal into diamonds. Affliction, burdens, and persecution all bring upon us great pressure. They do, don't they? Persecution. Don't you feel like you're being shoved and pushed? That's kind of what persecution is, ain't it? I mean, burdens, affliction. It's as if some force is pushing against us or pushing down on us. You ever feel oppressed? That's pressure. Oppressed. It's like you're being pushed down. Like somebody, some power, something is trying to just squash you. Stop you. Put you down. That's tribulation. We feel that we got to push back to even maintain ourselves where we are. Do you ever feel like you're just barely treading water? Do you ever feel like you're just about to go under? Do you ever feel like this is about it? Oh, I'm about done. This is about it. I don't know how I can take it anymore. I don't know how I can go on with this. That's tribulation. When times of tribulation come in our lives, we generally have a hard time seeing over the top of them. We're pretty much focused on the trouble and not on our hope in God or what He's doing in our life. Now, all right, now that's all true. But He said we joy in tribulation also. Well, it's kind of like a circle thing here. You don't, when you're a young Christian, or when you're young, period, you don't joy in tribulation. You ain't learned that yet. You joy in tribulation, a mature Christian with mature faith joys in tribulation. When you're immature, you don't. You get mad about it. You blame it on other people. You blame God for it. You fuss at God for it. You gripe about it and you murmur and complain if you don't have any faith or if your faith is immature. But there's a time when you go around the merry-go-round a few times, you begin to learn the way this thing works. And after you go around 10 times, you're seeing the same thing every time. Unless you're just really, really dumb, you learn. You begin to pick up on it. You begin to learn how this thing works. And then you begin to learn how to handle it when it comes again. When you see it coming around again. Well, you done been through it 5 times. You ought to know how this where this is going this time. And you learn how to deal with it. All right, let's hurry up. Tribulation work with patience. This is simply a law of nature. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. It works like this in everybody. Lost people as well as those who are saved. Well, tribulation worketh patience. Yes, it does. You can break a wild horse, and you can break a stubborn-willed person also. They can be broken by much trouble, much tribulation. They can eventually settle down. Tribulation worketh patience. It makes you, being under pressure makes us weary, but our strength is increased. Makes you weary. You talking about that guy running yet last night, Seth, the guy that liked to run and all of that. You have to, You know, all exercise is that way, and all of this fitness stuff, and it don't have to be that. Let me tell you, the best way to be healthy and fit, work. Just work. Yeah. It'll make you strong and fit. I've never felt the need for exercise. I get plenty of it. Yeah. You know, when I was in school, I was thinking about it. You was talking about that last night. When I was in school down at Dexter and back in the early 70s, we had this thing. They did it in school every year. And it was, I don't know what they called it. It was NPE class, but it was like a physical fitness deal. We had to do 100 push-ups. 100 push-ups. We had to do 100 sit-ups. We had to run a 660-yard dash. Nobody dashed very well at it. I mean, you barely made it. I remember one little fat kid, he didn't make it. He didn't make it 50 feet, and he was down on the ground. Of course, everybody's laughing at him. We had to throw a softball. We had all these things to do. Gymnastics, we had to do all of this stuff. And it was pretty hard. Say 100 push-ups? Yeah, we had to do that. But we didn't do it the first day. It went on for 2-3 months, and we had to do so many this week, so many next week, more, and then so many more the next week. And most everybody did it. There was a few that didn't. The little fat kid didn't do nothing. One of the seniors threw the softball, and it went 220 feet, I think, and he ran out there like this and went, and it went 12 feet out there and hit the ground. That boy had a hard time. Ain't no telling whatever happened to him. But the point I'm making is, you know, you took a while to do it. And it hurt, man. It hurt. And when you started and they said, you got to do 100 push-ups, we said, no, we can't do that. Can't. But we did. Yes, sir. You get stronger when something's pushing against you. I read a story one time about a guy, and I'm not going to tell it right, but the Lord, it's just a made-up story, but it's got a truth in it. The Lord told him to push on this big old rock and to move it. Well, he pushed and he pushed and he could not move that rock. And day after day, he pushed and pushed and pushed, but he never could move it. And he got real discouraged and he was just feeling like quitting. But then the Lord told him, he said, look at your arms and look at your legs. You know, look how you've increased your strength by pushing on that rock. And that's what I wanted. That was my purpose in telling you to push on that rock. That's exactly the way it is here. That's what he's telling us here. Tribulation is rough. It's pushing, it's pressure, but it increases our strength. And we're able to endure more. And for longer times, and therefore we're more patient. See, the reason you're not patient is because you're afraid you're going to run out of strength. You're afraid you can't do it. And the more you do it, and the longer you endure, the more you can see that you do. And your patience extends when you got hope. See? Patience is the ability to endure affliction and pain and calamity or provocation without murmuring and fretting. Patience is the ability to endure it all without griping and murmuring about it. I remember old Brother Stats, he would come to church and he was in his 90s, and every time you asked him, he said, well, Brother Stats, how you doing? Can't complain, can't complain. Ain't that what he would say every time? Ain't no use complaining. Can't complain. He was real proud of the fact that he had all of his teeth. He's 90-some years old. Patience. It's to just put up with something without making a show about it. Or a scene about it. Patient endurance. I remember preaching on that one time. Patient endurance. Patiently waiting. enduring it and keeping your mouth shut. Not crying and begging and for everybody's sympathy and everybody's help. Just sit there and take it. Patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Crybabies haven't had much tribulation yet. That's right. People that whine and cry and pity party and beg and always talking about it and always seeking sympathy from other people, they ain't had much yet. You can tell the ones that have endured because they got some patience. They just don't talk about it. They just quietly endure, patiently endure, because they know there's a better day ahead. I've been through this enough times to know it ain't always going to be like this. Like one of them guys over there last week said that. I mean, his brother, I think maybe remember Brother Sutton, he said that. And it's not always going to be like this. Whenever you get down and out and everything's wrong and nothing seems right, I've told you 100 times, it's going to change. Just sit tight and wait. Things always are changing. It ain't going to stay like this. There's another day coming, a better day coming. And when everything's wonderful and great, don't get too at ease because it's going to change. The merry-go-round's coming around again. This is the way life is. We joy in tribulations also because they're a certain fact of life. I've learned, boy, the devil never rests. He never gives up. He never tires. I mean, don't get too comfortable and relaxed in your victories because he's sitting right there with something else in his barrel ready to fire. He does. Right when you think, oh my, ain't this wonderful? Pow! Here comes another one from another direction. I see people and they think, boy, everything's done now. Boy, all my life's right, my family's right, and everything's just good. And boy, we can just sail right on, we can just float right on out. From here on, it's going to be good. Oh, not if this is the real deal, it ain't. Think the devil's going to just sit back and let you shout the victory for all your life and right out? No, he's going to keep hammering. It's war. It's a warfare. And you got to look at it like that. It's just to put up with something that is wrong or not pleasing for a long time without trying to draw attention to yourself. Patience, patience. Did you ever know anybody that had some terrible thing to bear and they just never talked about it? They never tried to bring it out in front of everybody to draw the attention to them. Without true, mature, effectual, saving faith in God, a person will fret and complain and murmur about their troubles. They'll become bitter and they'll become angry and rebellious about their troubles, and they'll seek to lay the blame on someone or something, even God. But let me tell you, that is a sign that their faith is either immature. Now, I'm going to be real gracious there because, I mean, either their faith immature, they're an infant, they're a babe in Christ, or their faith's not real. It's counterfeit. Now, you can't do that. You can't trust God and complain about everything. The Israelites didn't do that and get away with it. No, they didn't do it. 40 years in the wilderness and their carcasses were left in the wilderness. That's what he said about it. Because of their unbelief. They did not trust God. No matter what he did for them, they murmured and complained. Let them through the Red Sea, and in a few days, they're complaining and accusing God and Moses of bringing them out there to kill them because they didn't have any water. That's a sign their faith is either immature or counterfeit. The longer and more severe the tribulation, the greater the patience that is produced at the other end. You know why Joseph could patiently deal with his brothers like he did? Because he'd patiently waited for 30 years, 20-some years. Yeah. With patience comes experience. That's an important thing. Important thing in life. When you're young, you don't have experience. It's a major thing of life. And you got to have it, and you can't rush it, and you can't buy it, and you can't get it from somebody else. Experience. You ever hear the saying, experience is the best teacher? It certainly is. It adds something to you that nothing, there's no other way for you to get it. Why, when, you know, if a person's going to be a doctor, they have to go to school for, 8 years? And then they have to do an internship. What is that? Experience. Yeah. A thing that's kind of lost in our time, but used to be a major way that society worked, it was called apprenticeship. If you were going to learn a trade, you had to be an apprentice. That means you had to work under somebody who was experienced for so many years or whatever length of time, but a length of time, so that you could get some experience. So you wouldn't be a greenhorn and a dummy. You wouldn't just read a book and graduate from school and throw your cap in the air and go out and start doing it. You want a doctor to operate on you, just got his diploma? You want somebody ripping your chest open and working on your heart that ain't never done it before, but they read about it in a book? No, you want somebody that's done it and has some experience and knows what he's doing. You don't want nobody working on your car that don't have experience, that they don't know what they're doing. Do you? Of course not. Experience means a test. It means proof. It means a trial. Experiment. An experiment is a trial or a test. Experience is the knowledge that you learn from a trial. All right, you got this. Tribulation, work with patience, and patience, experience. Experience is the knowledge that you glean from a trial. Experiment. Things are tried. Any kind of new product they make or anything, they try it. They put it through tests. They put it through experiments to see if it's going to work and how well it'll work. And whatever problems are going to be involved in it. And when they see the problems, they fix it. And then they try it again, don't they? Trials. That's what they're doing in all of this. You know, I've been going to the eye doctor for 12, 15 years. And he says you got macular degeneration, but you got hope because they're working on these stem cells and stuff, but they're still in trials, he said. First they try it in the labs, and then they try it in animals, and now they're trying it in humans. And before long, when they get through with all the trials, well, then it'll be available. And they keep promising. Well, what do they do that for? Well, they want it to work. And they don't want it to cause other problems. They want it to be perfect. That's a bad word, ain't it? Let's bring that into faith and Christianity and serving God and sin and all that. Be ye perfect. Even as I'm perfect. How many of you know that the Bible says that? Yeah. And that's not the only place that it tells us that. That's the goal. You know, I get told not too much because nobody pays no attention to me, but if I ever bump into anybody and we get to talking about it, that's what they call me, a sinless perfection. So that's what they say I'm. Because I don't preach that you can live in sin and be a Christian. I'd say, no, you can't do that because the Bible says you can't. Very plain. That's what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is all about, and that's why we're talking about this. If you don't believe in sinless perfection, and I don't believe what, see, they're jumping to a Nazarene doctrine where they believe that the sinless, sinful nature is eradicated and you can't sin. I don't even believe in a sinful nature. Why are you calling me a sinless perfectionist? You're way off base. Boy, that'll blow some people's minds, won't it? What's the goal? If you don't believe in perfection, what do you believe in? Sin? How you going to get to heaven? No sin's going to enter there. How you going to do that? And the Bible is plain about it. And boy, by the time we get through this, I hope you'll see that. But an experiment and a trial, that's what it's for. Tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. Tribulation that produces patience must be long. And that means that by the time we get through it, we have experience and not just faith alone. Tribulation has to be long. It can't just be a quickie, a quick trial. It's got to be something that's thorough. And that takes a while. It's going to take a while for you, for God to work these things out in you, in your life, for me, for all of us. It's not instant things. God doesn't work that way. And it can't work that way with us. It just doesn't work that way. Everybody wants a miracle. They want to get saved and all the things that bother them, taken away instantly. Just bow to the altar, say, Lord, take them away and stand up and free. No, don't work that way. Sorry about that. You spend 20 years digging a hole, don't think you're going to jump out of it in 60 seconds. You go to the far country, you're not going to get beamed back instantly. You got to walk back. That prodigal walked back the same way he walked away. We've seen God in the fire, and now everything is different. You got experience. You got some experience. You ain't a greenhorn no more. We talk about young people, and I know this offends young people, but I mean, it's just, you will one of these days, you'll see it. Green. I remember being green as I could be. Wet behind the ears. That's what people used to say to me. Still wet behind the ears. That's kind of a, ain't it? But that's the way it is. Don't you see that in people? Just in life. Don't you see how the people mature? They grow up after the trials and troubles and enduring them for a lifetime. It changes them. That's why most older people are not just, they're not like a squirrel jumping around like a lot of young people are. Jumping from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. It's sad when you see an old person this kooky like that. We've seen God in the fire. Now everything's different. We no longer talk about what we believe or compare our opinions with the opinions of others. We know. It's wonderful, let me tell you. When you get to a place where you got your feet on the ground and where you know some things, when you get out of all this shakiness and this insecurity, and I'm talking about faith in God and in God Himself. Some of you don't even know. You're not sure. You couldn't answer anybody anything if they ask you anything about God. You couldn't answer them because you don't know. It's a wonderful thing when life goes on and you have some experience in tribulation and you learn some patience and you have this knowledge you've learned in the fire. It just shores everything up. It fixes it. She used to do a little bit of this ceramic stuff, and I know how that works. And I've asked about it, read about it to find out. You know, you got this clay pot, you paint on it, and then you got to put it in an oven and you got to fire it. And you got to put this glaze on it or something. Then you got to fire it again. Don't you have to fire it like three times?
Two or three times.
What for? You ain't going to get that paint off. Once you do that, it fixes it on there for good. And that's the way it is with this. I mean, it just fixes it. Your faith, it gets stronger. You get more settled and strengthened and established. And nobody's going to come up and shake you with stupid questions and wild opinions that come out of hell and out of this world full of fools. It don't shake you. It don't trouble you. Other than that you just think, my goodness, how can anybody be that foolish and stupid? You get it settled. It's pretty wonderful when you get settled, let me tell you. I remember when I didn't know for sure about a lot of things. I looked at it all and it was just way too much. I didn't know how I'd ever learn enough to. And there was a lot of questions. Yeah. You know, some of you think you got questions. You think I didn't have questions? You think Seth didn't have questions? Think somebody else in here never had questions about all this? Yes, sir. I sure did. I had my head full of stupid stuff from reading books, from watching movies, from listening to fools. But all that's fixed. You want to know how? Burned out of me. And this burned into me. That's how. I found out that, you know, all the people that's shaky and uncertain and all that, they ain't no help when you got trouble and you need God. The only place I found any help was from God Himself and His Word and from a few people who really was already on the other side and knew. We no longer talk about that, you know. Well, I believe this and I believe that. What you believe? Well, I believe it, right? I don't spend too much time trying to tell people what I believe. Thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, this is the way it is. This is the truth. I know the truth. So, tribulation has helped us greatly when we get through it. When we get past it, we are greatly helped. Yes, sir. And you do like the Bible says, set up a stone and say, and call it Ebenezer. Yes. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and He'll help us on. When it set up a stone, it's a marker. We ain't going back past this. It's an anchor. Experience. Let me talk about that just a minute, and then we'll quit. Experience brings hope. Now, that's where we're headed when you start in tribulation. And it brings hope. And once you go around this loop a few times, then when tribulation comes, you know hope's a-coming eventually. So you can join tribulation. Some of you just have a hard time accepting that, don't you? Have you learned that yet in your Christian life? Have you learned to joy in tribulation? Things, pressure. Things ain't going right. Things look bad. Looks like this may be the end of it. This may be the end of everything. May stop me here. I don't know how many times. You know, it's got to the place now where I just always kind of think, well, what's the Lord going to do this time? How's the Lord going to work this out this time? Because He always does. He always does. I've learned that He always does. He always comes through. David said, I've been young. I thought about that the other day. That'd be a good message right there. I've been young. And I've been old. And I've not yet I've never seen God's children forsaken. Or His children. His seed begging bread. Now, David said that. And it's true. With the new knowledge and understanding that we have from the experience in the tribulation, there along with it comes great hope for the future. Don't it? When the Lord delivers you out of the tribulation, isn't there great hope? When the children of Israel got through the Red Sea, was to Exodus 15, 1, what does it say right there? Children of Israel, then Moses sang, and the children of Israel, a new song unto the Lord. I mean, they were singing victory, yes. Hope didn't last long for them, but that was the children of Israel. We've got better things in the New Testament. We've got better sacrifices. We've got better offerings. We've got better everything. It's a better covenant. So we got hope. We got hope. When we see what God has brought us through here, we begin to turn our eyes upward and see what He has in store for us later. A whole lot clearer. The longer you get on the journey, the more you start looking toward heaven. Older people talk about heaven more. Their mind's more in eternity than it is here. You hear them say things like, I've got more friends over there than I do here. You hear them singing songs like, I'll not be a stranger when I enter that city. Yeah. That's because they've been through some tribulation. They've got some patience. They've got some experience. And so now instead of just moaning and groaning and looking around them and wonder what's next, they're looking ahead. They've learned to look ahead. Because the best is yet to come. The better things are yet to come. When we experience God's power and His comfort and His deliverance in this poor life, we then know that there's more to come and it'll exceed all we've seen and felt here. I mean, do you get what I'm saying here? If in this world we see God's deliverance over and over and over, you begin eventually to understand that heaven is a place of final victory and joy and rest. Hope. Tribulation, work with patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. And it's a hope that we're not ashamed of, because it's not the kind of hope that has doubt with it. It's not the kind of, well, I hope to make heaven my home someday. It's not like that at all. It's a hope that is steadfast and sure. And that fadeth not away. I mean, it's not a hope like there's maybe a 70% chance or 60% chance. It ain't like that. We're not hoping for it. We're waiting for it. You know, that's one of the advantages of another language a little bit. In Spanish, the same word for hope is the same word for wait, the same word for expectation. You understand it better that way. This hope, we think hope, well, I hope so. That's the way we think in English. That's not what He's talking about. We're waiting for it. We're living in expectation of it, anticipation of it. It's coming. It's a sure thing. There's no doubt involved in it. That's the hope that tribulation. That's where you end up when you start in tribulation. Hope. Assurance. Pretty nice. We absolutely know. Now, it's not the kind of hope that's a 50-50 chance of being disappointed. There's no disappointment. It's a hope based on experience and fueled by love for God. Because God has shown Himself to us in reality, we know Him like we never knew Him. When we were just trusting in His promises because we'd heard or read them or somebody told us. When the Hebrew boys got out of that fiery furnace. Now the Son of God who was in there with them, not one of the sons of gods like the like the other versions say, like unto the Son of God. Didn't we cast three men in there? There's four. One of them's like the Son of God. The king said that, old wicked king. Well, they knew he was in the fire, didn't they? You going to talk them boys out of God after they got out of that fire? It's all a fairy tale, boys. You're a fool for believing in God. He ain't real. That's a bunch of nonsense. You going to convince them of that? No, sir. No, they didn't see him. They didn't know. Not out in the where everything's nice and rosy and lovely and easy. They didn't see God out there. Where'd they see him? In the fiery furnace. It's where you see God. It's where you get to know God. In the tribulation. Joseph was in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. That made the difference, see? You going to talk Joseph out of God when he gets out of the prison? Of course not. Tell him he ain't real? He knows he's real. You going to tell me God ain't real? Good luck with that. It ain't going to happen. No, been through some tribulation. Learned some patience. Got some experience. Therefore, I got hope. Yeah. I know some things. I don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't understand clearly, but I know this. I know God's real. I know that Jesus kept his promise when he said he and the Father would manifest themselves to me. They did. He did. It's happened. So now you're not going to talk me out of it. Might talk some of you out of it because you won't get in close enough. You won't get in close enough to find out God's real. It's a hope based on experience. So, tribulation is the beginning of the road that leads to the reality of God in your life. And that's why the Bible says that we rejoice in tribulation also. And what's the next word? Knowing. That tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. We know that. Paul knew that when he wrote that. That's how he could go for years, dying daily. That means that every morning when he got up, they was trying to kill him. Every day when he opened his eyes, the thought went through his mind, they're going to get me today. Reckon they'll get me today. He was prepared to die every day. He wasn't dying to himself every day. He didn't have to crucify his flesh every day. That ain't what he was saying. It's not even in the Bible. That's what he's talking about. Read the context of it. They was trying to kill him everywhere he went. I died daily, he said. Every day I just give it all up and say, Lord, this may be the last day I got. I'm going to give it all I got. He lived a life of tribulation. That's why when he got to the end of it, he could say, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. All right. Hope. He didn't die without hope. He died in hope. Be absent from the body is what? Be present with the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Need these things. You need them. You need to get them deep down in your soul. It's like you're carrying your little backpack. You need this in it. The things you need. Remember that time, Seth, when you was going to go climb the mountain down in Mexico and you fixed that backpack up to take with you. Do you remember that? You remember? We had to look in it and see what was in it. He had some Band-Aids and did he have some alcohol, I think? He had it all fixed up. Just two or three things, but ready for injury, whatever happened there. But He wasn't, but he thought he was. He's just a little boy. He prepared for it. Why do you go through your Christian life and don't prepare for the things that are coming? Why do you live in this illusion and fantasy that everything's just going to be happy, happy, happy? And everything's going to be wonderful. God's going to take care of me. I won't have no trouble. God will take care of you, but you're going to have trouble. And the trouble is, God allows it. We're not wise as God. We won't allow it on our children. We try to keep them from every little hurt and injury. And, you know, you got to do something or they'll kill themselves. But, I mean, you know, there's some time when you just got to turn your back and say, "Oh, Lord." You can only tell them so much. They're not going to learn by you telling them everything. What are they going to have before they really learn? Tribulation and experience. You can say, "It's hot, don't touch it." They're going to touch it. When they touch it and it burns them, then they got experience. And they know that it's hot. And next time, you know, little Dorothy, you can say, "You're going to fall." "I not fall." I mean, that's what she is every time. "I not. I not." Can't convince her. But every time she falls, I say, "See, told you." And slowly, slowly, she's learning, just like everybody else, just like all of us learn the same way. Won't you put that into work in your Christian life, in your walk with God? Won't you get that down? Read the Word of God. Listen to those who are ahead of you in the journey. They can keep you from a lot of them potholes and disasters if you just listen. Say, "Nah, go around that. No, that's quicksand there. Don't step in it." Don't just say, "I not." And just step off in it. You're going to pay the price. I always told my kids, you can learn things two ways. You can learn it by the hard way, or you can just watch all the other foolish people and learn it by watching what happens to them. And don't do that. There's plenty of people who won't listen and they keep doing it. So there's your example. Now watch. This is what's going to happen. Amen. All right, well, let's bow and we have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the good instruction in righteousness and in the promises that you give us here. So true. This practical, real life truth. Please help us, Lord. Pray you'd help us to remember these things. We're going to have tribulation tomorrow. Sure as the world, there'd be tribulation. Help us, Lord, to take it with joy. Help us to realize that your eye's always on us. You never leave us nor forsake us. We're not alone. Nothing happens out of your sight. And Lord, help us to trust in you and wait upon you and live in hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.